Our epistle for this feast of the Holy Family, also the Sunday within the octave of the Epiphany, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace indeed you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by His grace. Whatever you do, in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 42 to 52. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem, according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days, when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the word that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, from the very outset of the Christmas season and throughout, we were given examples of positively fulfilling the first commandment, the adoration of God. The shepherds went and adored him. The Magi came and found him with his mother, and offering gifts, they worshipped him. Last Sunday, we were given an opportunity to meditate on the second commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we expounded on that lesson, that we should call upon the Lord in our prayers, in our needs, in our adoration, in our thanksgiving. And we should not use the Lord's name with vanity. Today, I think it's apropos that we meditate a little bit on the third commandment. Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. But before we go on to this commandment, I think it's important for us to point out a few other things that this feast should recall to us. And the one thing is the spirit of humble obedience. He was subject to them. Or, according to the custom, they went up to Jerusalem. You can find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, and Exodus, chapter 34, this custom or this rule. Every year, every male person should visit the temple and offer gifts at the temple. But did our Lord need to fulfill this? Did Saint Joseph need to fulfill this? Did our Blessed Mother need to fulfill this? Absolutely not. Our Blessed Mother, as we call her in our litany, is the house of God, for she was the Theotokos, the God-bearer. The temple is where the Spirit of God dwelled in the Old Testament, and the church is, a true church, is where Christ exists under the presence or in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, the consecrated host in the tabernacle. But still, they were obedient. They tried to fulfill the laws and the rules. From the circumcision to the purification to their visitation to the temple of God. And Jesus, becoming 12 years old, entered into manhood. And so he took upon himself and showed us that obedience to his Father's law, the Mosaic law, the law of the Old Testament. Now for us it is important, I think, to understand our obligation. And there is an obligation. Note the commandment here. It says, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. How do we do this? Well, there's an effort that we must make. There's a participation that needs to be had. There's a proper decorum that we should have of ourselves. Most importantly, what happens up here and down here in our heart and in our mind is so very important for us to fulfill this divine law. Now, the church law is for us to make holy, is for us to go to church on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. That's the church law. And sometimes that's impossible for us to do. Well, for a number of different reasons. In my experience as a priest, I think too many people make too many excuses not to go to Mass on Sunday. And then they wonder why God's blessing isn't in their day. Well, they've cut themselves off from it. But regardless, there are some good excuses, traveling or sickness or being snowed in. And so that obligation is suspended for those circumstances to go to church on Sundays and holy days. But the divine law is never suspended. It's a divine law for us to make the day holy, to keep the day holy. It's his day. There's an effort that must be made. And if we don't, we violate divine law. And we have to answer for not abiding by God's law. Now, for us to go who go to church, it's important that it's very easy for us to make holy the Lord's Day when we participate properly at Mass. But just because you go to Mass doesn't mean that you've made the day holy. We are supposed to assist at Mass, not just exist at Mass. I've told you before that when we walk through those doors, we do not leave the same. Either we leave better or worse, because here we have a great opportunity of grace. And when we leave, you've either rejected those graces or you've received those graces. And if you reject God's grace, you leave worse. If you receive those graces, you leave better. So many have had what we have and no longer have it because they never appreciated it. And then when the time came, they try to grab onto something and they find nothing to grab onto because they've never made it a habit to grab onto those things which are most important. They let selfishness, self-wants, their own ideas or ideologies get in the way. And they cheat themselves out of something great that they could be a part of. What does participating at the holy sacrifice of the Mass mean? It means we have to give something. We have to pray the prayers. We don't just watch the priests say Mass. We have to mean the prayers that are being prayed. We have to be a part of the sacrifice and offer with the priest at the offertory our sins, our faults, and our failings. But in order to do that, we need to give them up. Absolutely. If you ever wonder why you don't have peace of soul, take a look at today's epistle. As Christ has forgiven you, do you forgive your neighbors? Okay, and this is where it starts, right here in his presence. At the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we are reminded of how the Lord taught us to pray. This is how you should pray. Forgive us as we forgive those. Well, for some, they put a limitation on Christ because they don't forgive their neighbors from their hearts. But this is a good place for us to be reminded of those things and said, no, I am going to, for his sake. Because if it's not about the good Lord, if he's not in the equation, it doesn't matter what we do or what we wear or what we say. Our day will not be holy. He makes it holy. We do not make it holy. We can only choose to abide in the holiness. That's why the commandment says, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. That's why we should check ourselves after we go to Mass. That we don't just make it about Mass and that's it. I'm done with my obligation and go home and live like a worldling, bickering and fighting or watching hours of football or TV or whatever and not doing any other spiritual exercises. I don't think that that's a fulfillment of God's will, of his commandment. 24 hours is a day. Keep holy the Lord's day. Now, in order to draw these lessons home, I have this book here called The Catechist. It has a lot of excellent little stories. And I would like to read you, and they're only very short, read you three to conclude this. First one comes from the life of St. Thomas More. Now, St. Thomas More was a martyr when King Henry VIII was playing his game, taking over the Church of England because of a divorce that he wanted and wouldn't get from the church. Thomas More was a Chancellor of England, second in power and rank in England. But Thomas More always put God first, even when it meant putting his life in jeopardy. One day, someone asked him how he was so particular in his dress on Sunday, because he always appeared very well dressed. And he at once answered, quote, "I have always dressed myself with care on Sundays and on festivals, not to please the world or through respect for any mortal, but through respect and love for God." On certain occasions, we dress special, right? Marriages, or if we go to a special place. It's interesting that our Lord, when he talks about the kingdom of heaven and the Mass, in his parables, he talks about them as a marriage feast. We should dress appropriately. The second point, the profanation of Sunday, an injustice. A farmer ridiculed his neighbor because he did not, like himself, work on Sunday, but on the contrary, attended the church services. "Suppose," said the neighbor, who had been ridiculed by this farmer, "I have 7 shillings in my pocket, and meeting a poor man on the way, I gave him 6. What would you say?" "Well," said the farmer, "you would be very generous, and we deserve every thanks. But if instead of thanking me," said the neighbor, "he threw me down and robbed me of my last shilling, what then? Why, such a man would deserve to be hanged," replied the farmer. "Friend," replied the neighbor, "that is your very case. God has given you 6 days to labor in, and has reserved only the 7th to himself, and commands us to sanctify it. And you, instead of being thankful for his gifts and respecting his will, you rob him even of the 7th day. Are the two cases not alike? The farmer agreed, admitted his fault, and corrected it. In the last example, Mass badly heard. To attain some particular grace, a poor woman promised Almighty God to hear a certain number of Masses. Each day as she returned home after Mass, she put a bean in a box that she might know the number of obligations fulfilled. At length, thinking of her promise, must be almost complete, she opened her box, and what a surprise when she found only one being within. Whereupon, she gave way to despondency and discouragement and complained to God that whereas she had so often assisted at Mass, only one was marked. She had the good thought to consult her director, her spiritual director, and explained all to him. He, in return, explained all to her, how no doubt she had been at Mass very regularly, yet without truly hearing Mass. Because of her voluntary distractions, her bad behavior, and perhaps even her talking to others, all of which had destroyed the merits of her works and accounted for the loss of her beings. The poor woman withdrew, convinced that Providence had made use of this incident to teach her to be more attentive during the Holy Sacrifice, if she wished to be pleasing to God and meritorious to herself. And that's what it comes down to, doesn't it, my dear friends in Christ, being pleasing to God? We take so many efforts to be pleasing to other people, but we don't really take as much effort to be pleasing to God. We have our own rounds of people that want to agree with us, or we want to agree with. And we take great pains and efforts. But where it concerns God, it's almost an afterthought. That's, if it's not the case for us individually, it's definitely the case for the world. But we can change that in our lives by making Him first. God first, always first. That has to be the way we live, if we want to be holy. And we are called to holiness. We are called to be saints. God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.